that. I'm going to start this and say that this is our last session. So take a deep breath and go. I'm sure some of you may be on overload. Some of you may be just going, oh, this feels wonderful. But for those of you that are not sure whether you've gotten something yet that's really going to be lasting, I'm praying and believing this one will get to you. Because this has touched my heart in a deep, deep way. This has personally impacted my life. And it's getting bigger on the inside of me. Even as I get ready to share it with you, it's something that went off on me when we were in New Zealand. And for some of you, you may not know, but Rick and I had the privilege. We were invited to be one of 25 people from around the world. The two of us were invited to James and Denise's home to spend a month in New Zealand receiving personally from them. We sat all morning, had lunches together all afternoon, had dinner together, and fellowshipped and just partook of the richness of the revelation of the Father that James and Denise have been doing for 40-some years. So when we came back from New Zealand, we didn't realize entirely all that happened while we were there, but when we got back, we said, oh my gosh, we're different. And it wasn't like our physical outside changed, but there was something that changed on the inside, and we haven't been the same. I know part of it is a greater revelation of being his son and daughter. I get up and I think, I am free to be me. I'm free to be his daughter. And so that was a huge part of what we received in New Zealand. But there was one message that as I sat there listening to Mark Head, who is the executive director of Father Heart Ministries, because there was other people than James and Denise that spoke. When Mark spoke and shared this message, and he said to me, and you will share it in October with everyone that you're going to minister to. Now, it's taken on a Sue McCoy thing because I can't share what was in Mark's heart. I can only share what Father's done in my heart. But it comes as a result of the question that Mark posed to each of us. Because he said, one day the Father said, so who are you trying to impress? And I'm pausing because, see, most of us have grown up in a Western culture where we are so aware of needing to impress, please, get somebody else's approval and attention. We are just looking for somebody to say, see me? Do you see me? And then there's another part of us that isn't sure we want to be seen because we aren't sure whether we're doing it right. So, having said that, I had someone at lunch ask me today, so they can figure out most of the pictures that are up here, but what about this one? I'm sure you could come up with all sorts of reasons that we have this picture up there, and I'm sure I know that the person that asked me had a really cool image that she shared with me, but I'm not going to take the time to share that right now. But this is a person that is the center of attention. The spotlight is on them. And as Rick and I have prayed with countless people over the years now, he said attention deficit disorder is what happens to children when they don't get any attention from their moms and dads. So we all have longed to be in the spotlight. We've all longed to have somebody say, I see you, and you're precious, and you're valuable, and you're awesome. But most of us, and the world definitely is there, only puts us in the spotlight for what we do. I mean, I could probably just not even share a couple things because Bob did such a great job of sharing about the performance mindset that we all get into. That performance orientation is huge. We're all looking to someone for approval. And I, when I was in New Zealand, Mark shared this verse, and it's from John 6:27, and it says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Now, that's a big verse, but what it's really talking about is the fact that we can end up working for all of these kudos, all of these awards, all of these recognition by man in this world, and yet end up feeling empty on the inside because they don't endure. They end up being fleeting. It's only the things that are coming from our Father and what he says that will last for eternity. Have we ever thought about that? You know, I mean, most of the time when we do something, it's a fleeting thing. It doesn't last. As good as it is to accomplish something, I mean, we did all these great, had all these fun experiences with children's ministry for years, and yet it was exhausting. And we may have felt good about it, but we never even took time to celebrate what we did do, and then we were on to the next thing. So it's like anything that we do in this world is fleeting compared to eternity. And I believe that we are so aware of the outer world and what's happening on the outside. I got my degree in elementary education, and I was a teacher. And I am so aware suddenly that I think, oh my gosh, what are we doing to our kids in school? It's all about performance. And it's all about, and I thought, oh my gosh, I would, if I was to do it again, I would put a C, correct, 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 correct. And I would not focus on the errors. I would show them everything they're doing right and not point out the things they've done wrong. And yet too often, we don't end up thinking anything but our Father sees all the things that we've done wrong. And if we fail, if we think we have failed, Father, we aren't sure we even want him to see us. There are a lot of people that sort of hide. But it's that desire to be in the limelight, so to speak, that it's in our heart. We know we have an identity. There must be somebody that really cares about me and wants me in their heart or wants me in their life or is noticing me. And yet so many of us as children and adults have felt totally looked over, like we don't measure up, that because our job situation or our education isn't what somebody else's is, then we have a hard time believing that we have as much value and worth, and we have this, I compare myself to somebody else, and okay, well, I may be better than this person, but oh my gosh, I'm down here compared to that person. And one day the Holy Spirit said to me, "Comparison is dangerous. Stop it." It was the most authoritative time. I sat there and went, "Oh, okay, guess I won't do any more comparison." But you see, the world causes us to focus on how we're different or we're not as good as somebody else. And at this point in time, whether it's about our looks and our appearance or whether it's about our actions, none of it makes us feel that we ever deserve that place of being the center of someone's attention. Now, I mentioned this morning, and I just feel I'm supposed to emphasize this afternoon again. What do babies think about? When they're babies and they are the center of attention, and when there's a new baby born, everybody's oohing and aahing over them and just having so much fun looking into their face, and they have done absolutely nothing to warrant all of that center of attention. But guess what? All of us were at that place at one point, and yet we have, it's so far back in that cellular memory, it's lost somewhere. We don't see ourselves as ever having just been loved because we are. We have to be doing something. And that's me. I used to be the busy bee. Bzzz. And I was buzzing here and I was buzzing there and I was buzzing everywhere. And I was in perpetual motion. I was the super Christian even once I got saved. And I was born again filled with the Spirit, and I could multitask and I could do all sorts of things well. And Father one day cut me off short and he said, Sue, You know, if I had a glass, which I don't have a glass in front of me, but we just could pretend that my hand is a glass. Ah, what's he going to say? Anyway, oh, that's okay. Anyway, and I was constantly moving. It's very hard to get filled up if you're in perpetual motion. And so he said, I just need you to be loved. I need you to be still. You are a human being, not a human doing, which is what Bob had shared. Because in him we live and move and have our being. Our identity is meant to be founded in him and not what we do. But most of us have been trained by the world and by our culture to look for approval in some other place than Father. Especially with authority figures, whether it be our parents, teachers, pastors, leaders, somebody that we're close to. We are looking, employers, we're looking. And how do we get that approval? It's through those nonverbal messages, through the tone of voice, it's through the looks, it's through the body language. And most of us have had those authority figures, those places we've looked for approval, come with less than positive looks, less than a pleasant tone, and sometimes even angry words. And on top of that, we can end up having busy parents. My parents were really wonderful parents, but they were busy. My dad had his own business. My mother took care of the books for my father's business. They had a yard, a garden, and it was just busy. And so there wasn't the ability to be seen by my mom and dad at times. I just needed their time. Because time tells you that you have worth and value. And our society today is really struggling with that one because everybody is so busy. But trying to get approval from others takes us away from looking to Father. He wants us to be us with our eyes looking to him. He does not want us looking somewhere else. You know, there's a verse that really was highlighted by a man from UK for us when he came to the second A school of 2 Corinthians. His name's Mark Jide. Is 2 Corinthians 6:18. It says he wants to be a father to us and us be his sons and daughters. How many of us let him be a father? Because we're so prone to looking to somebody else or looking to self that we don't look to him. Father said, I want you to share a couple of highlights of places you looked for approval that he showed me and he's had to heal my heart of. And the first one was when I was about 6-7 years old, and he showed me myself coming down the stairway of our house where I was living with my parents. And my father was, back then, it was reel-to-reel, big tapes that he was recording. My mother was out in the kitchen doing dinner. And I had put on a brand new dress that my mom had gotten. I mean, I was the first girl in 5 generations on the Howard side. So my aunt gave me all sorts of frilly dresses since she had 3 boys. But I came down those steps, and I was ready to go, whee, see me? And my father was totally looking at his reel-to-reel. And he didn't give me his attention. I never heard my father say, you're my princess, you're beautiful. I think I did hear my father say, I love you a couple times, but it wasn't that heart connection because he didn't know how. And then I went out to the kitchen trying to get my mom's attention, and she was busy fixing dinner. So what did that say to that little girl? She wasn't valuable enough to merit the time and attention that I wanted. Because I know Rick went over love needs last night, but one of the love needs that was really speaking to me from listening to an Elijah House CD a while back is the need to be known, heard, and understood. I think I'd add seen. But we all want that. And if we don't get it, it makes us feel that we're less than important or that we're not valuable. And it makes us have the wrong idea about our identity and who we are. Father is the one that created us, and he knows who we are, but too often we look somewhere else other than him. As a teenager, my father really didn't know how to connect with a growing young woman. And so he was busy with restoring a boat, spent 1,000 man hours restoring a sailboat, and he did all sorts of other things. And so I noticed that I could get my father's approval if I served him, because he didn't get married till my parents were 38 when they got married, and my dad loved to be served. So any place where I could serve him, then I felt loved and valued by him. It wasn't that he purposely said, I need you to do that, but that was just what the image, the subconscious image that I got of who I needed to be in order to be loved and accepted. I can remember my fifth grade teacher. She said, oh, you did such a great job explaining that math problem. You should be a teacher. Well, guess what? She planted the seed, and I became a teacher. I felt really good. I felt approved. But I realized, Father showed me as I was preparing for this, he says, do you realize it was still about your performance? I sat there, oh, yeah, it was. And you see, if you haven't noticed, I'm a lot shorter than my husband. So I'm really glad our sons took after their father and not me. But as a result, I always felt that I wasn't seen. I was small and I was in a crowd and you couldn't find me. I mean, I looked for him and find him, which was really helpful. But I always felt like I was less than. I mean, our physical appearance and stature can cause us to struggle with how we feel about ourselves, whether it's our nose is too big or our ears or our skin or, I mean, you know, the color of our hair. We can all struggle with just our physical appearance, feeling like we don't measure up. And even after I got born again, oh, that was where I really, okay, I'm really going to do it right. I'm going to do exactly what Daddy wants me to do. And I'm going to make sure I pray, and I'm going to make sure I read the Word, and I'm going to make sure I'm fast, and make sure I'm going to share with other people. I mean, I just went all out trying to perform in order to get my father's approval. And I exhausted myself. I can honestly tell you. I was in knots on the inside. Oh, my gosh, how am I going to get all this done? Okay? But then, as Rick said, we were children's pastors, and well, we had our children's ministry, and we were children's pastors for three different churches, and basically, and we basically burned ourselves out. But I know part of it, in those churches, I kept hoping to hear from the senior pastors, oh, that's such a good job. You're really doing a great job. Well, unfortunately, that isn't what happened. In fact, we were asked to leave. You know, the one. And so it was just less than approval. And then on top of that, I was involved in children's ministry 20 years ago. And women in ministry 20 years ago was a no-no. It was like, you are in the wrong place. And so I always felt like I was second-class citizen. I was less than the senior pastor. So I'm just sharing with you all the places that I looked to for approval, Father showed me I wasn't looking to him. I was looking to man. And there's not enough approval on this earth for any of us to ever feel good about ourselves. He is the only place we can look and know that he is going to say the truth. He's going to tell us the truth, and he's going to value us for who we really are. A few months ago, we've been connected with another gentleman that has really impacted our hearts. It's called Rediscovery of the Heart. And a man by the name of Larry Nampier. He was sharing a message about, I see you. Now, I was so impacted by this message that I went online and I checked out a few more articles to make sure what he was sharing was true. And that is what this newest love letter is about. Father says, I see you. Because the Zulus of South Africa have a different way of greeting each other. They don't say, hello, how are you? They say, I see you. And your answer is, here I am. Now, they do it very intentionally. They look in that person's eyes and they say, I see you. What's that doing? That's validating that person. That's saying you really do exist and you are important. They have a sense of value in their culture that we've never had here. Sawabona is I see you, and Sikona is I am here. As you look in somebody's eyes, just just turn next to the person that's beside you and say, I see you. And the other person says, here am I. Nothing more than that. Okay, I think we're sharing more than I see you and here I am. If you do it intentionally, when a person is really struggling, I've done it with a couple of people, and usually when you look into somebody's eyes and you're really serious about them and you say, I see you, oftentimes it will bring tears to the corner of people's eyes because they're not used to being seen. We live in a society where we're numbers, where we're technology. We don't do anything but texting and Facebook, but we don't have the face-to-face relationships. We aren't used to seeing and looking into each other's eyes. By a man by the name of Dr. Robert Holden that I found online, he has done conferences with people where he specifically teaches on this, and he has the people say these words back and forth to each other, but he starts off with the reverse. He says, sikhahona, and it means, I am here to be seen. And that is different because what that's saying is you're opening yourself up and you're vulnerable enough to say, no more masks, no more costumes, I'm here to be seen. And that other person says, I see you the way God created you. I see you with God's eyes. I see you. I think our Father is just yelling across the universe saying, I see you. And he's not saying it harshly. He's just saying, I want to get your attention. I see you, whether anybody else does or not. We were meant to help each other remember our true identity and recognize our true value in Father's eyes and in each other's eyes. Father, if I began to look into the Bible, and oh my gosh, there's countless examples of Father seeing us. There, as Rick was sharing, there's face-to-face relationships that many people have had. But the one that I was really taken by is that Genesis 16:13 says, He is the God. You are the God who sees. Hagar, in the midst of her being thrown out, and she's in the wilderness, pregnant, feeling lost, alone, and not sure what's going to happen to her and her baby. She cries out to God, and he answers her, and he tells her her future, and she calls him, you are the God who sees. She goes on and says, have I also here seen him who sees me? Father is always watching. Father is always there and sees us in our hard times, in our easy times, in our in-between times. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord are looking throughout the whole earth. He's just looking for us. He's looking for his kids to come home. He's just wanting us to know how valuable we are. And so, as I was preparing for this week, he said to me, he said, I want you to sit and pray for the people. And he had me take this lamb. And he had me pray for each one of you. That you're just like that one lamb that was lost in Luke 15. That He left the 99 and he went after the one because that lamb is that valuable. You're that valuable. You're that precious that he doesn't want you to feel that somebody has given up on you. He wants you to know him in your heart of hearts. He's the one that's looking. He's the one that values that lost coin, and he's the one that's looking for the sons. He always sees us, and he's seeking out that face-to-face relationship with us. If you look at that prodigal father story, is what I call it, neither one of the sons knew their father's heart. Neither one of the sons saw that their father was looking at them. They were so focused on the natural. The younger son, I believe, was looking and trying to impress all the other people outside of his home. He was looking for approval, and he had lots of friends as long as he had money. But what happened when the money ran out? Everybody else left. The older son stayed home, and he tried really hard to do everything right, to be that good, good person that Bob was talking about. And yet, guess what? He tried to gain approval through hard work, through the performance. And it's still not what Father wanted. Father has always wanted, and he keeps looking for us just to look into his eyes and come home. You know, I want to paint the picture one more time. That younger son finally got to the end of himself. He humbled himself, realizing, I can't do it. I don't have the ability to take care of myself. And if I can just go home and be a servant in my father's house, I'm not going to be a son, but I'll just be a servant because at least I'll have something to eat. He wasn't going home to have a relationship with his father. He was just going home for food and maybe a place to sleep. He had lost any sense of an identity of a son. He had no ability to see that at all. But he did have at least enough to take a step towards home. He made a decision to humble himself and say, I'm going home. I believe he came home with a lot of shame. I believe he was hanging his head down and feeling really badly about himself. And as I sat about a week ago, Father showed me that picture. He showed me the picture of this younger son coming home. And he showed me with his head hung down, in shame, in embarrassment. He knew he had embarrassed his father. He knew he had humiliated the family. He felt nothing good about himself. He didn't feel good about himself at all. His head hanging down. And I saw after the father ran to him and embraced him, he comforted his son. But then I saw Father take the boy's chin and lift up his head until their eyes met. And he said, I see you. You have value and worth, and you're my son. You're come home. It overwhelmed me with the fact that that's what our Father wants to do for each one of us. He doesn't want our heads hung down, no matter what's happened or hasn't happened in our lives. He wants to lift our head. In Psalm, as I saw that image, he brought me to Psalm 3:3 that says, He's the one, he's the glory, and the one who lifts my head. He lifts our head if we'll only let him, so that our eyes connect with him and we no longer have our eyes looking to someone else or something else. You see, when those eyes of the father and the child met, I believe there were nothing but eyes full of love and approval that went right to that son's heart. Wow. Think about what he wants to do for you. That's what he wants to do. Then he didn't even settle there with just their eyes meeting. He put on the best robe, the ring, the sandals, and threw a huge party. Why? Because he fully approved of his son. His son had come home. And he valued him. He was worthy of killing the best fatted calf. There was nothing but acceptance. Because he was just going to be his son. We are not meant to do anything in order to merit sonship. In order to merit a place in the family. I believe Father wants you to think about today, which son are you more like at this moment? Guess what? One day I can be like the one son, next day I could be like that one. I could be like the older son or the younger son. Doesn't matter, depending on where I happen to be in any given moment. But Ephesians 1, 6 and verse 13 talk about we are accepted in the beloved, and we are he's affirming who we are. Paul writes as to who we are. We're accepted in the beloved and endued with special honor and sealed with the Spirit, who is love. So I'm wanting you to recognize your Father is just waiting for you to make a turn towards him so that your eyes can meet his and see his approval of you as he says, I see you and you have great value and worth in my eyes. When I was in New Zealand, the end of this story that Mark was sharing was his testimony about what Father did to show that he was there for him. And it really was a powerful story, and I want to share a bit of it with you, and then I want to share about my experience, which I haven't shared with anybody since I got back from New Zealand except my husband, because Father said you'll share it at the school at this weekend. He was in the center. Mark was found himself in the center of a big sports field, and the stands were filled with people, and he was in the center of the field, and someone had handed him a trophy. He had not run a race. He had not done anything except to stand in the center of the field. So this was not about his performance, but it was about him being in the center of attention. And as he was experiencing this vision, the person that was praying with him said, "So where's Father?" And he thought, "Oh, I don't need Father. I'm just really happy with how I feel right now." And yet, off to the corner of his eye, he saw Father at the sidelines of the sports field. And Father started running to him in the center of the field. Mark had this trophy with the ears on it that you can hold on to. And Father took that trophy and his and Mark's arm and hoisted them in the air. And the crowd went wild, clapping and cheering for him, until he knew that he had his Father's approval and everybody else knew it. It changed him that day. Oh, forgot the one important thing. Gotta go this way. The thing that the Father did besides hoist the trophy is he proceeded to put a sash, which was the seal of approval, over his son's shoulder. So he stood there, marked with the approval, the seal of approval by his Father, known by all as his Father's son. So at the end of that story, he said, "So now, I want you all to recognize you have a legitimate need, a need for approval. And I want to come, and I want to stand in front of each of you, and I want to place that seal, that sash, that seal of approval on you. And I want you to know the same approval that I experienced." So for the next amount of time that it took, he placed red sashes on each of us. And each of us had our own experience with Father. But for me, I was overwhelmed with the same kind of image. I saw myself standing in the center of a sports field, and I saw the stands crowded with people. And as I looked for where Father was, I saw Father running from the sidelines. But he didn't just lift up my arm. Father put me on his shoulders. I didn't have to feel short anymore. Everybody'd see me because I was on my papa's shoulders. And he proceeded to run around the whole edge of the field with me on his shoulders. And I looked in the stands, and I saw my mom, my dad, my grandparents, and they were standing applauding. And for me, there was such a sense of rest and security, knowing that I don't have to perform anymore. I am approved and loved just because I exist. And he wants that for each one of us. We have a legitimate need to have somebody notice us and somebody to say, "I see you, and you're lovable, and you're precious, and I am not going to desert you, and I'm not going to turn my back on you, no matter who else has or who else has trashed you. I approve of you just the way you are.
You don't have to do one thing. Just like that baby, we don't have to do one thing in order to merit his love. He just loves us because we are. And very few of us have experienced growing up in homes where we have had that happen for us personally. I don't know of too many, at least. So I'd like to pray briefly for you here, and then I'm going to give you some instructions about what we're going to do. Because we're going to pray over each one of you and give you a sash of approval so that you know you have been seen and you are well pleasing just because you are. So if my team can come on up, that would be great, and you can grab a couple sashes. But Papa, we just ask you to come right now, and we ask you to show each one of your children their place, being the center of attention in your heart, that you know them, that you see them, that you value them, and that they are your sons and daughters. Father, I pray that you would just put a mark on their heart this day, that they are sealed with the seal of approval, of value, worth, and acceptance, every one of them. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just brand their hearts with that so that they can never walk away from it. In Jesus' name. Now, we're going to put on some quiet music. I would really like this to be a really precious time for everyone. Since there's a few of you, we only made 21 sashes, so it's going to require you. Once we do this, then we'll have you hold on to the sash for a couple minutes or so. We don't want you to rush it, but then we may need you to let us take the sash from you so we can put it on somebody else. I'm going to ask that you come to the front or the side. You know, we're going to space ourselves out around here. I sense that we're going to, as you feel led. Unless you don't feel led, then we'll come to you. Because Father wants you all to receive this. He doesn't want anybody to leave without receiving his love. So we're going to ask that you come. We're going to spread ourselves out so that there's enough space. I'm going to say maybe you go on the side, yeah, a little bit. We just need to have space for people. Maybe a couple people, somebody go in the center back so that people can be back that direction too. And we're going to have you just stand, receive that seal of approval. And when you feel either someone takes the sash from you or you feel released to give it back, then we're going to ask that you specifically go back to your seat and just allow Father to continue to speak to you until we get through everyone. And then we will get ready on the other side of that to finish our time together. So as you feel led, you can come to any person that's around the room to receive your sash, and they're going to speak over you and bless you, and I'm believing it will impact your heart for eternity.